And we're rolling. Once again, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5. So if you'd go there with me, we'll look at this together. We covered a couple verses in this section at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount last week. And I really want to go back there and do a little clarifying, a little adding to. And so this is what, part six, I believe, this week in that little series. And we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and pick it up in verse 17 once again. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Once again, it was very clear. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to abolish it. I've come to fulfill it. Now, people who are really into the dispensations, they look at the word for fulfill and they see end, that it's over with. It's done now. And it's unfortunate because there's more than one definition for pleroao. And in this context, he's already said, hey, I've not come to abolish it. Wouldn't it be foolish for to put the word, I've finished it for you. I've not come to abolish it. That word for pleroao means to make it abound, to fill it up to the fullest. And when we look at this fulfilling, I wanted to look at what the word says about fulfilling the law. And it's really quite wonderful when you see Jesus Christ and who he was and is and how he lived and why he died and why God raised him from the dead and why he was ascended up into heaven and seated at the right hand. When we see all these things, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We looked at Matthew chapter 7. Basically, that was the golden rule, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, if you're noting, that when we think about the law, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And when Jesus Christ was being questioned by the religious authorities, and the questionings, they were not genuine in Matthew 22, but the word even says they were tempting him. They were probing him. They were tempting him. They were trying to catch him in his words, and they said, what's the first and great commandment? What is the great commandment? And he said, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. For upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what we see is love. Love for God and love for one another. Now, if you would please, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And this is the epistles. Romans chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. I have not come to abolish the law. I am come to fulfill it. Remember Jesus saying those things? Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Once again, remember the words that Jesus says, I've not come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill it. I've come to make it abound. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, for on these two commandments hang or support, suspend upon all the commandments. And we think about who Jesus Christ was and the example of love, selfless love that Jesus Christ was. Do you think he fulfilled the law? It was much more than he lived a perfect life. It's incredibly important that he did, that he never sinned. Because it took a sinless, spotless, blemishless sacrifice to be the substitutive sacrifice for all of mankind. Because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, the sentence of the law concerning sin was satisfied. The condemnation for not being righteous was satisfied. And in Jesus Christ, you and I are righteous, have the righteousness, are made the righteousness of God. But it's in him. In him. When he said, I'm not come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill it. And he fulfilled that law. He satisfied the righteous requirements, the demands of the law. And he did that in such a way, in such a loving way, that you and I can stand before God and be accepted of him. There's not a man, woman, child alive that has not sinned. And there's not a man, woman, or child alive that was not born into this as an offspring of Adam, that was not under the sin. For by the offense of one, in Romans 5, by the offense of one, many were made what? Sinners. But by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. By the sentence of the law. What is the sentence of the law for breaking any part of it? Death. Death. Last week, I mentioned one of the arguments that people give about the law being done was Romans chapter 6. So if you would join me there, we're already in Romans. We can go back. Romans chapter 6. In verse 14, and it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The point being that sin would have dominion over you. For we are not under the law, but we're under grace. Well, if the law is good, just, and holy, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it was the flesh of man the inability to, by their own discipline, to carry out the law completely. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, being the wise one, and in his wisdom, in his plan of salvation, the perfect one, Jesus Christ, the holy one, Jesus Christ, sacrificed his own life, being innocent, in our place, that the sentence pronounced because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the justice of God, the sentence now pronounced upon all who believe in him and trust in his sacrifice, trust in his righteousness, the sentence now pronounced upon us is righteous. Righteous. We're not under the law. We're no longer under the demands of the law. We're not no longer under the requirements of the law to meet the standard being the law. No man has been able to do it, so they cannot escape the judgment of the law. The judgment of the law and the condemnation of the law, the sentence of the law is that all men are guilty before God, thus deserving of death. We are no longer under that sentence. We are no longer under that condemnation. Put your finger here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. I am not in any way, shape, or form advocating to go back underneath the law as a means of righteousness. That would be futile, ridiculous, and it would be an affront to God who sacrificed his own son for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 55, speaking of the hope of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our sure and certain raising, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. When you see that sting of death, some people even translate that as the stinger. But what does a stinger do? It stings. If you think of a scorpion, or you think of a bee, the stinger is the point at which the poison or the toxin is administered. So when it says here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting, or the point of the administration of this toxin, this death, is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So when it says we are no longer under the law, the strength of the law was its just sentence. If you break this law, in one point you are guilty of it all. And the just punishment for breaking the law, the holy law of God, was to be death. In the Old Testament, they didn't walk perfectly. They didn't walk any more perfectly than we do. In fact, they don't have the equipping that we do with Holy Spirit indwelling inside us. When they fell short, remember the whole series we did on the tabernacle? When they fell short, they had all those sacrifices of atonement. And without blood, there's no remission of sins. They sacrificed the animals, which were a type of the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a type of atonement that pointed to the atonement for all men and for all times, Jesus Christ. So when we say we're no longer under the law, we're no longer under that sentence of condemnation. We're no longer under that standard for righteousness to be accepted of God. Our standard for righteousness to be accepted of God is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now going back to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, where it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace." You're under the sentence, the pronouncement of righteousness, and it's by the grace, the gift of grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then it says this, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" And the King James says, "God forbid." But what it really means, let it not even be thought. It's so wrong. Don't think that. So when we look at Jesus Christ saying, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. When we look at the fulfilling of the law in the places where the law is fulfilled in God's word, it's love. It's a way of love. If I'm loving you, I don't lie to you. If I'm loving you, I don't steal from you. If I'm loving you, I won't want what you have so bad that I want to take it. If I love God, I won't want to offend him. If you think of offending God every time we're presented with an opportunity to sin, it kind of changes the equation a little bit. This is that great God who so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son for us, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if I think about that when I'm presented an opportunity to sin, do I want to offend my God? I don't want to offend my God, not because he's going to crush me with a sentence of death, but I don't want to offend my God because I love him, because he loved us. When you look in the epistle of 1 John in chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. We have the capacity, we have the instillment of love, not because of our discipline, not because we have to or will die, but because he first loved us. Now some of these verses we covered last week or the week before last, but when you think of this, when you think of the love of Christ constrains me, it impels me, because I thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. The love of Christ. You know where the love of Christ dwells right now? In the hearts of every Christian. He died for us. He who knew no sin, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. Yeah, he fulfilled the law. In many ways he fulfilled the law. He satisfied the law so that he could be a perfect sacrifice, a blemishless sacrifice. He lived the law, being tempted yet without sin, so that he could acquire and purchase righteousness for mankind who trusted in him. You hear, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And it's much more than just, oh yeah, I believe he was around. I'm trusting in him as my Savior, that when I stand before the judgment seat, I can say, I can be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but I may be found in him and his righteousness. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Remember that line from the one song? Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. That will be our only plea in that day and time. But what a powerful plea that is. The victory, like I said at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 there. But thanks be to God, the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's not a call to sin saying that we're not under the law anymore. Like the King James says, God forbid. Like other more, I guess, accurate, in this instance anyway, versions. Let it not be thought. Let it not be thought that we should sin that grace may abound. Now we're under grace, anything goes. I just wanted to clarify that. Not that I didn't think you knew that. Of course you did. But I just wanted to clarify that, how the law is holy and it's just and it's good, and the weakness of the law was the flesh of mankind. But those things contained in the law, they're really good things. And we wouldn't break those things if we're loving, truly loving. And God has equipped us with Holy Spirit, a new heart, and the love of Christ dwells in us. That's how the law is fulfilled. And I'd like to close in Romans 8, if I may. That sounded very formal. If I may. We get a running start. I can start Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation from what? Judgment of the law. There's no more condemnation, no more sentence from the law to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the what? Say it. The law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law. And some people will read this and they will put in the word for, that the righteousness of the law was fulfilled for us by Jesus Christ. And it's the word in, E-N in the Greek. It's in us. Because that love of God in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ poured out, shed forth for us to have in our hearts. Oh, think of it, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Think of the cost paid that we may do this. Think of the sentence whereby we now live under, a sentence of pronouncement of the righteousness of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about it. Do you want to be joined with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to be joined with him? You want to have union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. We want our identity and everything that we are is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says He is our all in all, He is our all in all. So when it comes to fulfilling the law in us, it's that love where we live that righteous way. The law was external. It was written on tablets of stone. Now the law of God is written on the fleshy tables of the heart. It's an inside motivation, an inside yearning to do what is righteous, because we don't want to offend God, and we want to please God, and we want to love God. And by loving God, we'll truly be able to love one another also. If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, upon these two things hang all the law and the prophets. Namely, in one word, that if you love one another, you will fulfill the law. There's no greater example, no greater demonstration of the love of God and the love of people than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did not come to abolish it. He came to make it abound. Give it wings. Give it life. Show that it's love. And when we go back to this next, that won't be next week. When we go back to this, we'll look at how the love of God in the heart changes what living the law is all about when Jesus Christ is teaching about different aspects of the law, different aspects of holiness, different aspects of the ways of the kingdom, where we love one another, where we serve one another. Did I go to Galatians today? Before we close, I lied. I said I was going to close in yes. Galatians chapter 5, and I promise this is where we're going to close. Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. That's what that grace is. It's liberty. Liberation from the sentence that the law brings. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But by love, serve one another, fulfilling the law, the ways of the kingdom that Jesus is teaching here. By love to serve one another. By love, we fulfill the law. Amen. Amen.